The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week, on Thursday night and Friday, is Chamisho Osor Be'ov, the 15th day of Ov. And it's known as a Ktsas Yontif. It has the halacha law of a partial Yontif. The time of the Mishnah, it was a very great Yontif. I'd like to spend the shiur this evening on this event. The Mishnah tells us, it's actually the last Mishnah in Masechta Tainis. It's the Mishnah and Daf Chof Vav Omid Beis, the beginning of the last perek. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel. Lohoyu yomim tevim liyisrael kechamisho oso be'ov ukiyem ha-kippurim. There were not such yomim tevim to Yisrael as the 15th of Ov and as Yom Kippur. Shavahen b'nei Yerushalayim yetzis b'kli lovin shulim shulei levayis is mi shein lai yetzis v'cheles b'kromim. The maidens of Yisrael, they would go out in beautiful white clothing. They would borrow the clothing in order not to embarrass someone who could not afford good clothing. And they would go and they would dance in the vineyards. And it was, these 2 days were known as days of zivugim, shiduchim. They would go to attract a prospective groom. And the Mishnah tells us about this. The Gemara and Daf Lamed Seif Amad Beis asks, Omar Rav Shimon Gamliel Lohaya Yom Tev Yisrael Kachamish Osa Baivak Yema Kippurim Bishlam Yema Kippurim. Yom Kippurim, I can understand why that is such a great simcha. Mishum Dis Beis Licho Mechila Yem Shenit Nabay Luchas Achreinus. It was the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us, because there was the Egel Azov, the golden calf, and Moshe broke the tablets because of this, and then he went back up to the mountain to be mispalel to Hashem, to pray to Hashem for forgiveness for 80 days, twice 40 day periods. And finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us, and that came out on the day of Yom Kippur, and he gave Moshe the Luchos HaRishonim, another set of tablets. So it should be a wonderful, wonderful day. Beislichu mechila and yom shenitna by Luchos HaRishonim. El tesvav b'Av Maihi. But what is the significance of the 15th of Av? What took place then? So the Gemara comes and gives a list of 6 events which took place on the 15th of Av. Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmul Yem Shehut Reshvatim Lovei Zeh V'Zeh. First thing, in the generation of the daughters of Slavchot, which we recently studied in the Parshas HaShavua, Kodesh Baruch Hu said that women and men are not allowed to get married if they belong to different Shvatim, different tribes, in order that the inheritance which was given to each tribe in Eretz Yisrael should not be moved from one tribe to the other. But Zeh HaDovar Asher Tziva Hashem Livnei Slavchot Dovezeh Lehineig Ela B'dor Zeh. But this was something which was commanded only to that generation. After that, so then they were allowed to intermarry. Now, this took place when they became allowed to marry from one tribe to another on the 15th of Av. Therefore, it was a simcha. Omer Rav Yosef, Omer Rav Nachman. Another event, Yem Shehuti Shevin Yomin Lovei Bekal. Shneamar V'ish Yisrael Nishba B'mitzpah Leimor Ish Mimena Lo Yitein Bitei Levin Yomin Le'isho. Mimenu v'lei b'modenu. It took place, there was once a great tragedy in Israel, Pelegis Begiva. A woman was violated, and later on she was killed. And this took place in the territory of Binyamin. And Binyamin refused to do anything about it, to uphold the law. It's a great mitzvah to eliminate evil from within you. And because of that, a war came about between Binyamin and the other tribes and caused further loss of blood. And finally, all of the other tribes took an oath that they would not allow their daughters to marry anyone from the tribe of Binyamin. Now this also was only to that generation, but not to further generations. So it was on this day when the people of Binyamin were allowed to mix and marry with the daughters of the other tribes. It became a big simcha. Rabba Bar Chana Omer Yechanan Yim Shekol Abay Mesei Midbar. Rabba Bar Chana, in the name of Yechanan, gives another event that took place. It was the day when the decree that the entire generation that went out of Egypt will die in the desert, when that decree finally became annulled, finally was finished. If you recall that when Moshe and Israel sent out Meraglim, spies, to scout out the land, this was only a little over a year after they went out of Egypt, and they were, by then, they were on the borders of Eretz Israel. And the spies came back and they were Meitzi Dibasa Oretz. They slandered the land and they wanted to overthrow the authority of Moshe and to go back to Egypt. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that this generation will die out in the desert during the course of the next 40 years. That anyone who was 20 will die by 60. What took place? So Rashi explains that the people died on Tisha B'Av. Dibasa Oretz, slander of Eretz Yisrael, took place on Tisha B'Av. Vayivku Balailo Azer, they came back with their news, and the whole camp wept that evening, and that was the evening of Tisha B'Av. So every Tisha B'Av, every ninth of Av, for the next 40 years, a certain proportion of that generation would die. And Rashi tells us, "B'chol erev Tisha B'Av hoya kruz yetzev emes su lachbor." Every erev Tisha B'Av, an announcement came out in the camp that the people, they didn't know which ones would die, they should go and dig their graves. And everyone would dig a grave and he would go to sleep in that grave. Because he didn't want that he should die and he won't have a grave. And in the morning, another announcement would come out saying that let the living separate themselves from the dead. And everyone who was alive would get up from the grave and carry on for the next year. And this is what they did every year on the evening of Tisha B'Av. On the evening of the Tisha B'Av of the 40th year, they did this also. And the next morning, they all stood up, all alive. And when they saw that they were all alive, they thought, maybe it's really not Tisha B'Av. Maybe it's not the ninth of Av. They used to have to calculate the calendars.
by the moons, by the moon. Maybe they made a mistake in the calculation. So, so the next night, they went back to sleep in their graves again. And again, everyone was alive. And they thought maybe they still made the mistake. And this they did for several days. Until finally, on the evening of the 15th, they saw it was a full moon. 15th of Av is a full moon. And since they saw it was a full moon, so it had to be that the 9th of Av already passed over. So they realized, so since they saw that for sure Tisha B'Av has gone by and not one died, so they knew that the decree had finished and they made that day for the great Yom Tov. And also what happened on that day was, it states that the Lohaya Dibore Mesha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not speak to Mesha during those whole 40 years like he spoke before. It was not, Rashi says that Moshe used to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Paklaria de Meira. You could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu perfectly, as much as one can see him. It wasn't like the other Nevi'im, the other prophets, that it used to be in a dream and in a partial vision, but it was crystal clear. But during these 40 years, Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give that level to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was not that close anymore to all of Israel. But after this, now it was Chozer HaDibur, that this came back. And because of these reasons, it became a great Yom Tov. So this is the third reason that's mentioned. Now the Gemara says another reason. Ulam Ayem Shebitl Heisea Ben Elo. This was the time when Hashem ben Elah rescinded, annulled the prusajos shehashiv Yeravam ben Nevat al adrochim shelo yalu liyisrael reglo. Yeravam ben Nevat, who was a great rasha, a very evil ruler, he did not allow Klal Yisrael to go up to the regl, to the Yom Tov, three times a year on the Shleish Regolim. And he placed shomrim, guards, along the roads to keep them away. Hoshea ben Elah came along and he annulled this decree. He rescinded this decree and removed the prusajes, the shomrim, the guards. But Omar, and he said, le'ez shir tzu yalu. Now whoever wants to come up to Yerushalayim, he can go. So it became a great simcha. And this took place on the 15th of Av. It's the fourth reason. The Gemara gives a fifth event that took place. On Tisha B'Av, we had the great churbanesh, with the churban of Yerushalayim. There was a great churban that took place on Tisha B'Av, also of Beitar. Beitar was a city, a great fortified city with great multitudes of people. And there was a great war between the Jews and the Romans, and the city fell. And this was, Gemara says, almost as great a tragedy as when Yerushalayim fell. And the rivers turned red from all of the blood. The Romans were so angry over the defiance of Israel that they decreed that all of the dead of Beitar are not to be buried. So we weren't allowed to bury the dead. Finally, they rescinded the decree, and that took place on the 15th of Av. Eisi yom shenitna harugi Beitar lekfura tiknu biyavne hatev ametiv. On that day, the Chachme Yavne, the Shivas of Yavne, they came together and they were Meshakein. They decided that we have to celebrate this day with a new brocha. So they enacted the fourth brocha in Birchas Hamazon, Hatov Vameitiv. They said it was Tov Vameitiv, it was a double goodness. It was a goodness that no longer would they be Hisrichu, no longer would the bodies rot, and it would be a bizayin, a disgrace for the dead. And a second goodness, that they were able to be buried. So this was a fifth event which took place. Rabba and Rav Yosef d'Amri Tavayo. Rabba and Rav Yosef say, Yem Sheposku Melichreis Eitzim L'Marocho. It was the day when they would stop cutting wood for the Mizbeach. On the Mizbeach and the altar, there were fires, and they needed wood. And this wood had a din of Kedusha, the sanctified. According to the Biura Nossi, it had a din of a korban, because of a sacrifice that was brought on the Mizbeach, on the altar. And they would cut the wood the whole year until the 15th of Av. Once the 15th of Av came, then was finished the cutting of the wood. Why? So Rashi explains, because since it was Kodesh, and it was like a sacrifice, so no worms were allowed to be in the wood. And from the 15th, so therefore, actually Rashi brings one, Rabbeinu Gershom says a little, Rabbeinu Hananel says a little differently, that they would have to dry out the wood after cutting it in the sun, in order to make sure the sun would drive out all of the insects and the worms. Or another reason is that the trees themselves, in the heat, the 15th of Av in the northern hemisphere comes out in August. So till then, there's an enormous heat. So the heat would dry out the cut wood, and also it would dry the trees, and then there wouldn't be many insects in the trees. But after the 15th of Av, Rashi tells us, or the Gemara says, the sun would lose its intensity. And therefore, they would not cut any further wood, because it would not be dried sufficiently. So this mitzvah of cutting wood for the Mizbeach would end on the 15th of Av. The Tanya, Reb Lezer Agod Leimer, Mechamish Oseh Ba'av, Ve'elach Toshas Keche Shel Chamo. Reb Lezer Agodl said from the 15th day of Av, then the sun would start to lose its intense strength. Therefore they would stop cutting the wood because it would not dry as well. And that day they would call Tovar Magal. Tovar Magal means to throw away the axes. We no longer needed the axes because we would cut only till then. So this is the sixth reason that the Gemara brings. So we had firstly, it was the day when the tribes were allowed to intermarry with each other after the generation of the daughters of Slavchut. Secondly, it was a day when the sons of Binyamin were permitted by the other tribes to marry their daughters after they took an oath that they would not give their daughters to them because of the case of what took place with the Pilegish Begiva. Thirdly, it was the day when the decree that the generation that went out of Egypt would die in the desert in the next 40 years until the whole generation was gone, and they used to die a portion of them every Tisha B'Av, that this stopped and it became revealed on this day on the 15th of Av. Fourthly, it was on this day that Hashem and Eloh removed the guards of the roads that Yerov ben Nevot placed there in order that and Klal Yisrael was again able to go up to the Beis HaMikdash and the three Yom Tovim. Fifthly, it was the day when the Romans finally allowed Yisrael to bury their dead from Beitar. Sixthly, it was the day when they would stop cutting the wood for the Mizbeach. Therefore, Chamisha Oseh Ba'av, the 15th of Av, was from the great Simchas that we had. Now we can ask on this. Firstly, it is strange that all of these things should take place on the 15th of Av. Really, the Gemara doesn't give us any particular reason why all of these things took place on the 15th of Av. Secondly, except perhaps in the last case, secondly, are these just six happenings that by coincidence all came together on what day? One day? Or perhaps there's some relationship between all of these things together. Thirdly, the Mishnah takes these two Yom Tovim, the 15th of Av and Yom HaKippurim, and lumps them together. Lo hoyu Yom Tovim liYisrael kechamisha asar ba'av v'yom HaKippurim. What does these two Yom Tovim have to do with each other? It would seem nothing. Yom Kippur, we know, the Gemara says. Yom Slicho Mechila la Yom Shenitna by Luchas Achreinus, the day of Slicho, forgiveness, the day of the giving of the second tablets. So why are they lumped together and they were celebrated in the same fashion? States B'nai Shisrael, the daughters of Yisrael would go out and they would dress up very beautifully and they would dance in the Kromim. What is the relationship between these two? Firstly, the first five events that are mentioned, these are all events that happened to take place on the 15th of Av, and they caused a celebration. But the sixth event is not an event that happened to take place on the 15th of Av. It wasn't a celebration. It was the day that they stopped cutting the wood for the Mizbeach. So what does that have to do with it? We have these questions. Let's see if we can explain them. It's very well known to us that we have zmanim, special times, which are miyuchodim leteiv, which are set aside for good things to happen. And we have zmanim, other special times, that are miyuchodim lera, that are set aside for, heaven forbid, not good things to happen on our calendar. And basically, we have four periods, four tikufes. Two periods which are good zmanim, and two periods during the year which are not. We have Nisan v'Tishrei for the good periods. Nisan takes place generally in April. That was the time, the Gemara tells us, that Yitzchok was born. And the birth of Yitzchok was not just the birth of one of the Ovis, one of the patriarchs, or one of the Shvatim, one of the tribes. The birth of Yitzchok had a special significance in it. And that was he was the beginning of the Brocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to Abraham, that he would have seed which was blessed in the entire world. There was an Abraham. Abraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of his enormous merit, separated Abraham from the rest of the world. But Abraham said, Ani Heilech Hariri, I'm alone, I have no children. He had a Yishmael, but Yishmael was lo yirashim benim Yitzchok. Yishmael was not a heir to this dynasty. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, ko yezaracho, kekech ve'ashamayim ve'chachol al tzfas hayom. your seed, v'nivrechu bechu kol umeisa olam, your seed will be a blessing for the entire world, and there'll be multitudes like the stars of the heaven and like the sands of the sea. Now, where did that come from? That came into reality with the birth of Yitzchak. The beginning of the fulfillment of the fruit of Abraham was the birth of Yitzchak. That's why the birth of Yitzchak has its own significance in our history. And Yitzchak was born in Easton. Nisan was the time of Geula, that we would redeem from Egypt. The Chazal tell us the Geula Hasida, the redemption that is to come, the great redemption also will take place on Nisan. And it's the celebration of Chag HaPesach for this reason, because of the Geula from Egypt. So Nisan is a special month. That's a month when good things happen. Another example, the erection of the Mishkan, the first building, place putting up of the sanctuary, took place on Nisan. Kodesh Baruch Hu said he wanted to wait for the birth, for the time of the birth of Yitzchak. That's one period. A second period that we have that's for good is Tishrei. Tishrei, Nisan comes springtime. Tishrei comes in the autumn. It's usually is in September. Tishrei, the Torah refers to as the Chedesh HaShvi'i, the seventh month. And the Medrash says Shvi'i from the word Sova. It's a month which is full. What is it full of? Sova b'mitzvahs. It's full of mitzvahs. There's a Rosh Hashanah. There's a Yom Kippur. There's a Shefer. There's a Sukkah. There's a Lulav. It was the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Slichu Mechila. He forgave Klal Yisrael from the golden calf, like we mentioned, which took place on Yom Kippur. It was the time of the Luchos HaAchronos, when the second tablets were given to Israel after the first tablets were taken away. So this is the second period of time, which is for good. Now, actually, these two periods start already from a little before. The Gemara brings here on Chof Tes, Seif Amud Beis, and Reish Seif Amud Aleph and Reish Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha. Once Adar comes, a person should start to be more mesameach. He should rejoice more. Adar is the month before Pesach. And Rashi explains why. So Rashi doesn't say because Purim comes in Adar. Rashi says because we're coming to Yemei Nisim Hol Yisrael, Purim UPesach. Because now we're coming to a Tekufa, we're coming to a period of time when miracles happen to Yisrael, good miracles. Purim, Pesach. So you see, Adar is not merely because of Purim, because Adar starts to usher in this period of Nisan, but it starts yet from Adar. And by Tishrei also, we find that it doesn't begin with Tishrei. We know Elo is a good month, the month before Tishrei. And they're known as Yumei Rotzen, days when we are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll bring the source for that in a minute. So these are the two periods of time which are Letova. Now, we have two periods of time on our calendar which are not that way. And that's Ov and Tevis. we have the month of Av. There's a fast day, Tisha B'Av, and we have the month of Tevis, another fast day, because another tragedy took place, the 10th of Tevis. And referring to the month of Av, which we are in now, which many, many things that were not good happened, and we'll cite what the Mishnah says. And Av usually comes out in around August time. It also starts from a little before. The Mishnah tells us, and Daf Chavot, Seif Omer Aleph and Reish Omer Beis, Chamisha Dvorim Iru Es Aviseinu B'Shiva Asor B'Tamus V'Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av. Five awful things happened to our forefathers on the 17th of Tammuz. So this is already a couple of weeks before Av begins. And then another five on Tisha B'Av, on the 17th of Tammuz. Ishtabru Aluchais is when Moshe broke the tablets. Botla Tomid, Hufkoir, is when the sacrifice of the Tomid was stopped by the Romans. Hufkoir, the city was broken into. Soraf Afis Tumises HaTorah, Hamitzen LeBehechel. Sefer Torah was burnt, many things. And then Antisha B'Av was Nigzar Alvesenu Shaleichnasu Ba'oretz. This was the decree from the Maraglim, took place on Tisha B'Av, as we mentioned. Chorav Abayis Parishenu Bishnia. First Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Nilkado Beitar. Beitar was captured. Menechresho Ir. Yushalayim was plowed under. So, this is Av and Tevis. And Av already starts from before, from Tammuz, from the 5th, from the 17th of Tammuz. The actual source, earlier source to this, we have, is by the golden calf. Rashi explains here in the Masechta that when Moshe received the Torah on Shavuos and he came down 40 days later and he found that Yisrael had built a golden calf and he broke the luchos, this worked out to be on the 17th of Tammuz. So here's our first source for it. When he went back up to the mountain the next day to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness, and he stayed there and he was mispalal, he prayed for 40 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not listen to him. So the Chazal say, we see from here that those 40 days are yomim she'enim shel rotzen. These are days which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not prepared to listen to us, and he's far from us. And these 40 days are from the 17th of Tammuz all the way till the 29th of Av. So this covers this period. After that 40 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, go back down, psol lechor, hew out other tablets, come back up, and stay for another 40 days, and then I'll listen to you. So those 40 days was from Rish Chedesh Elul till Yom HaKippurim. So there the Chazal tell us, we see those days are Yomim Shel Rotzen, those are good days. And the Gemara brings that we see many times good things happen on good days and tragedies happen on the other days. Megalgalin chayv liyem shechayv u'megalgalin zchus liyem shezakai. Kodesh Baruch Hu brings good things in good times, and heaven forbid the things which are not so good he brings during the other times. So at any rate, we see that we have tekufes, periods of time, good periods, bad periods. And the good periods, it's Nisan and in Tishrei. Bad periods is Av and Tevis. And we see the good period start from a little before yet. By Nisan is Adar. And the same thing with the bad period. For example, by Ov, it's already from the Yud-Zayin B'Tammuz. Now, why is this like this? The Maral explains. He says a principle which runs through the physical world and the spiritual world. He says you should know that everything which is mamutsa, everything that is well balanced, that's something which is good. Something in the middle. But when you come to the chavish, you come to the extremities, he says that's something which is not good. For example, states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we quoted this in the Shir for Tisha B'Av, the Mishnah in Masechta Yuma. How did he create the world? He took a rock, the Evan Shasir, and he built around that rock and around that rock. And this, the Gemara says, is like the one who says that the world was created from Tzion. And Tzion is the center of the world. This rock is the center of Tzion, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The center is very good. The lave, the heart of man, he placed in the center of man. If we want to see where people live, you see, the extremities of the world are not good places to live. Yet. They're either oceans or they're frozen wasteland. Civilization finds itself in the middles of the world. And this is also true when it comes to the Midas. Rambam goes to great elaboration. He says a person should always be a mamutza. He should be in the middle. He shouldn't go to the right and he shouldn't go to the left, even if it's a good quality. You can become a fanatic and an extreme with a good quality. So, therefore, you should always find your way in the middle. And the Rambam calls this is Derech Hashem. This is the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rambam says all the time that what's in the middle, there is your kedusha, your tahara. There is your sanctity and purity. When you come to your extremes, now, he says, there you will find the impurities and the lacking of sanctity. Now, this is also true in the world of time. There's a time when the time zones are equally balanced. There's other times when there's an extreme. There are times when the day and the night are equal, which means that the sun and the earth are equidistant from each other. There are other times when you have very, very long days and very short nights. Or you'll have very, very long nights and short days. That means that it's not in perfect balance, but there is an extreme. Nisan and Tishrei. The Gemara tells us that's a time when the days and the nights are equal. And also the seasons. Mara says Nisan is a time she'ena chacham ve'ena kor. It's not when it's hot or it's not when it's cold. So the world is in proper balance, and the same with Tishrei. Tammuz and Av comes out at the heat of the year in the northern hemisphere. Here it's just the opposite. It's at the extreme cold. And Tavis, which comes in January, the northern hemisphere, that comes out when you have your shortest nights, your longest nights and your shortest days. The cold, extreme cold. Or here it'll be just the opposite. Now Israel, they were called Yeshurun. Yeshurun comes from the word Yoshur. Yosher means straight, not going off. Every extreme is going crooked off to a side. But Yosher means straight. And they're called Yeshurun because they come from Bnei Yaakov. Yaakov was called Ish Tam. Tam means Sholem. Sholem, the Targum says. He was perfect. He was not to the right. He was not to the left. He was perfect. And he was Yeshiva Olim. His quality was Torah. And on Torah it states, Torah Hashem Tmimo. Torah is Tomim. Torah doesn't go to the right. It doesn't go to the left. But it's the perfect truth. The Gudei Hashem Yeshorim. The mitzvahs of Hashem are Yoshor. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave his Torah to Israel. The modern Masechta Shabbos tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah, which is a tilsoi, it's made up of three parts, has Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, Le'am tilsoi, to a nation which was tilsoi, also made up of three parts. There are three of us, Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. It's Kahanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. The Chodesh Tilsoi, on the third month. It was the third month after the going out of Egypt. And the Maral explains what is all three, because when you have one, it's to one side, and it's two to another side. It's the third that holds everything into balance. And because Klal Yisrael is Yeshurun, therefore, their time on the calendar is when everything is in perfect balance. They have a good hour. And their good hours is in Nisan, or Adar, or Tishrei. Those are times which are miuchodim, set aside for Kedusha, for good things to happen. And these times are times for Israel. But when you have other times on the calendar, which the extremes govern and the extremes rule, those times are not for Israel. To the contrary, those are the times which are set aside for those nations that live in extremes, that do not have balance and perfection. The Gvurais, the Keches Haro, the governing and the ruling of the powers of evil. And that's why when it comes to Edom, Edom was Esau. This was the Roman Empire that came from him, the father of our European nations. Their time, their Hatzlocha, is in Tammuz and Av. Like we see from the Mishnah, Chamisha Dvorim Irul Lavisenu Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. Five historical tragedies took place on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, and another five took place in Av. When it comes to Nisan, that's a different story. There Yitzchok was born, was the miracle of Purim in Adar, the establishment of the Mishkan, the Geula, and so forth. Now, even though that the actual times of Brocha, when we're speaking about this time of year now, takes place in Tishrei, and we said that it already has its early starts in Elul. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, come back up to the mountain and I'm prepared to listen now. So it has its early starts in Elul. And Av is not our month. To the contrary, that's Esau's month. There is, however, a time when his hand starts to weaken. The Gvurais Haro'o, the strengthening of evil, of Esau, starts to take hold in Tammuz, and it grows and it grows. But there's a time when it's when this growth stops. Not a time yet when goodness comes to the world, but there's a time when this gevura, this ever further strengthening of evil, stops. And that, the Gemara says, is we see on the 15th of Av. Because strange things happen on the 15th of Av. The Gemara says, 5 historical events took place. And these 5 historical events have nothing in common with each other, with the exception that they were not events that brought something new to Israel, but rather they were merely the annulment of decrees which came from Peronius. Annulment of decrees which were not such good decrees. For example, we had a decree where Klal Yisrael was not allowed to intermarry with each other. This decree was rescinded on the 15th of Av. We had another decree that because of the war between Binyamin and the other tribes, the sons of Binyamin were not allowed to marry into the other Shvatim, into the other tribes. This decree was rescinded on the 15th of Av. We had another decree that in every generation, every year, the Dor HaMidbar, the generation of the Midbar, a proportion of them would die because of the Maraglim, the Chet HaMaraglim. This was rescinded on the 15th of Av. We had another decree that Yeravim ben Nevot did not allow Klal Yisrael to come up to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. This was rescinded on the 15th of Av. We had another decree that the Romans did not allow us to bury the dead of Beitar. This was annulled on the 15th of Av. So the Gemara says, from the fact that we see that major decrees were rescinded and annulled on the 15th of Av, this is not a sign that the days of Brocha and goodness have come into the world yet, but it is a sign that the evil has started to weaken. The evil has started to weaken and become relinquished, because we see that these decrees are all being annulled. And better yet, the source of the major decree, we said, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, the source of the decree of Tammuz was the Egel Azov, the golden calf. That's the first event that took place on the 17th of Tammuz. But the source of the later decrees of Tisha B'Av came from the Maraglim, the decree of the scouts that went into Eretz Yisrael. And we see that decree itself ended on the 15th of Av, because no longer did they die. So this means that the raw, the evil, which permeates or prevails in the world, becomes weakened and stops, begins to stop on the 15th of Av. The actual goodness has not come yet to the world. That will come a few weeks later when we come to Elul. But meanwhile, we see that the evil, though, has started to break down. Therefore, this is wonderful news. And this day was set aside as a great Yom Tov. And the daughters of Israel would go and dance in the Kromim. Now, we mentioned from the Gemara a sixth reason. So a sixth event that took place on the 15th of Av. And that was Peskin Lichrais. They would stop to cut the wood for the Marochel, for the altar. And we asked that that was different than everything else. All of the others were some historical event that took place on that day. Here, there was no historical event. Just they stopped cutting wood for the altar. Actually, we can ask, why was that a mitzvah? The reason why it was a mitzvah, we can ask, why was it a simcha? The reason why it was a simcha is because it was a gemar mitzvah. They finished a big mitzvah. I believe there's a Groh in Shulchan Aruch that brings this as one of the sources, that when we do a mitzvah that takes time and we finish it, calls for a celebration. They had this mitzvah of cutting wood for the Mizbeach, which would take a long time, and they would finish it now, would call for a simcha. But what does that have to do with everything else? Why is this together? No, actually what the Gemara is bringing is Zuhi Taimashil Milsa. This is actually the reason of everything else. Because why did this mitzvah finish on that day? That day dafka. So the Gemara tells us, because the wood had to be dried very thoroughly in order that there shouldn't be insects in it. And it states, from the 15th day of Oven onward, the sun would start to weaken. And Rashi tells us, because till then, the sun became stronger and stronger in the world, and the days became longer and longer, and the nights shorter. In other words, the world was heading out to the extremities. But from this day on, Rashi says, Demesiv Leila Zalayomim. But from this day on now, the days stop to lengthen, and the nights start to lengthen. In other words, the sun is turning around. Till then, it was heading out to the extreme. And now it turns around and starts to head back to the mamutza, back to the middle. The Gemara brings that actually this is a time now when people from the 15th of Av onward, it says most of their learning was done at night because they were busy during the day. So it says it's from that time on we have to increase our learning, because till then the days were getting longer and longer and the nights were less, but now the nights start to get longer, so it's a time for us to increase our learning. But at any rate, this was a simcha because we finished this mitzvah. But why was this mitzvah finished? Because at this time the world stopped on its extreme, this route, and started to come back towards the mamutza, towards the middle. And this is the underlying reason in all of these events, that since no longer was it headed for an extreme in the physical makeup of the world, so the same was the power, spiritual powers of extreme evil started to lose their power. And therefore we see all of these decrees becoming rescinded. Now we'll go one step further. We asked, he brings these two great Yom Tovim together. Lo hoyu Yom Tovim liYisrael kechamisha asar ba'av kiyem haKippurim. What does one have to do with the other? Now actually it's very good. Yom Kippur was the tachlis. It was the ultimate of the goodness. We go back to the origin of Yom Kippur, which Rashi brings here. He says, what was its origin? Torah was given on Shavuos, the 6th of Sivan. And Moshe came down from the mountain 40 days later, where he had learned the entire Torah. There was the 17th of Tammuz, the breaking of the tablets, the golden calf and the breaking of the tablets. Moshe went back up to the mountain for 40 days. That took him from the 18th of Tammuz till the 29th of Av. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't listen to him. So the Gemara says these were days which were not good days. Then he went a further 40 days from Rish Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to him. Every day he came closer to Hashem, until finally on the 40th day, Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, all right, V'solachti kidvorecha, I will give you forgiveness like you have asked, and I will give you the new luchas. I'll give you the Torah again. The Gemara said that we quoted before, Vishlama Yom HaKippurim, Yom HaKippurim for sure is an enormous simcha. In Slichu Mechila, it was the day that we came to Slicha. It was the day, see, that was on this 10th of Tishrei. It was the day when we received the Torah again, the Luchos Achreinus. Now that was the ultimate of good. That was the highest point in Klal Yisrael. Because it states, Tshuva Magas at Kisei HaKovod, which we became Balei Tshuva. And Tshuva goes right up to the throne of Hashem. It states, B'mokim Shebalei Tshuva Emdim, Ein Sadikim Gemurim Yecholim Lamed. We came to higher levels than we were before. We were Balei Tshuva. And it states, we came to such levels on Yom Kippur that we could say, Baruch Shem Kfei Malchusei out loud, even though this is the tefillah of the Malachim, because we were kemalachei ashoros, we became to the level of Malachim. So there we came to the ultimate of goodness. But the first seeds of the origin of this is first to eliminate the evil from the world. And when does that take place? That goes till the 15th of Av. Once the 15th of Av comes, so now the hand of evil has been broken. This is the relation between these two Yom Tovim. Chamish Osar Be'Av is when the evil hold is relinquished, and from there we can go to the days of Elul, to the days of Tishrei, to Yom HaKippurim, where we come to the ultimate in goodness. And how were they celebrated? Mishnah says they were celebrated. It became a yontif of zivugim, a yontif of making shiduchim. Why is that a way to celebrate these Yom Tovim? The answer is very good. Because this was the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu started to turn around to look at us, and we turned around to look at him. States that during Tammuz and Av, the same tefilosim, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't listen to our tefilos. We're not looking at him, and he's not looking at us. But when it comes to the good days, there we start to look at each other and come close. Mora brings that on the Yomim Tevim, they would show the people the Kruvim. Kruvim were the two images, a young boy and a young girl with wings like angels that were on top of the Oren HaKodesh, on top of the ark which held the Luchas. And sometimes they would be looking at each other, and sometimes they would be looking away from each other. The Gemara brings in Baba Basra, the first parak, that when they were looking at each other, This was Bisman She'esim Retzeni Shalavinu Shebashamayim. This means that we were fulfilling the will of Hashem, and there was a kiruv levavos. There was a closeness and a love between the two. When they were looking away from each other, this was man she'ein esim betzeinu shalavinu shabashamayim. This was a time when we were not fulfilling the will of Hashem, and therefore there was a hester upon him, looked away. So these days are times when we start to look at each other again, and there's a kiruv levavos, there's a uniting of hearts, lemalo, in the worlds above. If that's the case, then it's a very zman hamasugo, it's a very good time for the uniting of hearts lemato, in this world. So therefore they became good times for zivugim, for shiduchim, and b'nais Yisrael would go out and they would dance in the kromim. And then the Gemara concludes as follows. The Mishnah concludes with this pasuk. Tse'eno v're'eno b'nei Sion b'melech Shlema ba'ator she'itra le'imai. Go out, the daughters of Tzion, and look at the king Shlema and the crown, at the crown that his mother made for him. B'yem chasunosei u'b'yem simchas libei, on the day of his chasana and on the day of the rejoicing of his heart. So the Mishnah says, what does this refer to? It says Shlema, Melech Shlema, should be referred to King Solomon. No, this refers to Hashem, Melech Shehasholem Shalei. And Imai, this refers to Knesset Israel. That Israel makes a crown for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When do they make the crown? On the day of the wedding and on the day of the rejoicing of their heart. And when is that? Yem Chasunosei Zemachin Torah. That was the day of the giving of the Torah. In other words, and Rashi says Yom HaKippurim, not Shavuos, but Yom HaKippurim. Shenit manai luchas ha'achreinus. The ultimate good. This was Yom Kippur. And when is Simchas Liboy, the day of rejoicing his heart? Ze binyan beis hamikdash yibona b'meirah of Yomeinu. This is the ultimate building of the beis hamikdash. In other words, this is the ultimate in this world. Kiru Levova is the coming together of Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara concludes with a different portion. The Gemara concludes, it's actually the end of the Masechta. The Gemara says, Amar Ablezer, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasish Machol LaTzadikim. In the world to come, Hashem is going to make a great dance with all of the righteous people. Who Yeshiv Benehem began Eden? He will sit in the middle of the circle in Gan Eden. V'chol echad v'echad mare be'etzbay, and everyone will dance around him, and they will point with their finger, and they will say, "Vayem Ohu inei lakenu ze kivinu loy, v'yeshienu ze Hashem kivinu loy." They would point, and they will say, "This is the God that we have been waiting for. This is the God that has come to save us." Nogila v'nismachom b'Yeshua, say, we will rejoice in his wonderful miracles of salvation. This will be the ultimate kiruv levavos in the next world. Mishnah is referring to this world. This world, it was the giving of the Torah and the binyan beis hamikdash. Next world, it will be in Gan Eden. So this is the explanation of Lo Hoyu Yomim Tovim LiYisrael Ki Yom HaKippurim UKechamisho Osor BeOv, that there were never such days of rejoicing in Israel as Yom Kippur and the 15th of Av. We should all be zeicher to see the Gvuras HaTov, the strengthening of goodness in the world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.